fellowship with you, Pastor. It's always a joy to come here and be with you in the services. I would not take a text tonight, so I wouldn't ask you to stand. I'll read a little bit, preach a little bit. But this morning we brought to your attention these prison situations in the Bible. After finding my wife unresponsive and having stage 3 carcinoma bladder cancer, I was drawn to these prisons. There are 5 times where a Bible character finds himself in a prison. Situations where the doorknobs are not on your side. You wouldn't have to go down to Titusville and get your rocket science degree to figure it out. You ain't getting out unless somebody lets you out from the other side. You won't have to go get no doctor's degree in theology to figure that out. And if nobody has told you, let me be the first. We're in a prison. We're in a COVID prison. I don't care what you do. You can wear your mask and take your shot. I don't care. You can do all that stuff. You ain't getting out of this prison. Ain't no doorknobs on your side. He's the one that sent it, and he's the one that'll have to stop it. We're in a political prison. And the only way we'll get out of it is if God was to let us out. Some of you in personal prisons tonight. And God is the only one. But although those 5 prisons cover thousands of years of Bible history, there is one common thread that runs through them all. And this is where God crossed me in my self life. Because I don't know about you, I'll not speak for you. I don't like prisons. I don't like situations where I ain't got no control. I can't leave when I get ready to. But I found in all 5 of these prisons, they never got free from it until they got free in it. And that's a big operation there. I mentioned some of the others if you're interested in looking at them. We looked at Joseph's prison this morning, the prison of sufficiency. I would remind you of Jeremiah. He stayed in prison. Every time he turned around, the boy was locked up. The prison of speaking. God always spoke to him. I had mentioned Peter's prison, the prison of supplication. Old John the Baptist was in a humdinger, got his head cut off, prison of suffering. I wouldn't ask you to stand tonight, but we're going to turn our attention to another prison in Acts chapter number 16. It is Paul and Silas's prison. I call it the prison of singing, prison of singing. They learned a great lesson, singing and praising while in prison. I have found in my own life, often, God only sends a prison in my life to check my response to the providence of God. See the extent tonight, or the amount, or the length, or the measurement of your troubles does not tell what kind of Christian you are. Some of you think tonight, because you're not having any trouble, you're some great Christian. You might be in worse shape than you've ever been. But it is your response to your troubles tell you what kind of Christian you are. I was thinking about that when I pastored. I had a sitting business. I sat with elderly people. I was sitting with an elderly man that he had had a stroke. And he is bad to slap you without any warning. And he had made the birds tweet around my head on several occasions. He had a big hand. He didn't want you to help him get up. He was arrogant, prideful, He'd slap at you if you tried to help him. One day he had slapped at me, and he fell over into the garden bushes she had there in the house. I leaned over to him, and I said, "You want some help?" "Yeah." I asked his wife when she come home, I said, "Did he get like that just since he got sick?" She said, "Oh, no." She said, "He's been working on that a long time." Some of us tonight have been working on it a long time, responding wrongly to our troubles. As we look at this prison of singing, the Bible says in verse 25, "And at midnight Paul and Silas prayed, saying praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." They just got their backside beat off. Be a good time to send out a prayer letter and see if they could send you some ibuprofen, some bandages. No, these two nuts are singing, praising God. I was interested in the context and the timing of the song. I noticed that it was a devoted time. Chapter 16 and verse 13, it says, "And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by the riverside where prayer," I was interested in this little phrase, "was wont to be made." Little phrase, "want to be made," it has the idea of a habit. They're not praying because of their circumstances. They're not getting pressure here from without, but they're getting pressure from within. They're praying because they want to talk to God. Many of us, the only time God ever hears your voice is when you're in trouble. It was a devoted time. It was their normal habit. Matter of fact, these fellows prayed morning, noon, and night. They continued in prayer. It was always had a bent towards prayer. Always had an attitude of prayer. It was a devoted time. I notice in the text, though, it was a demanding time. Bible tells us in verse 16, "And it came to pass as we went to pray, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit, a deviation met us, which brought her master much gain by soothsaying." You can rest assured of one thing, make yourself a note. The devil don't like it when you pray. So here comes the demon-possessed woman. She stays after him. Verse 23, "And when they had laid many stripes on them," they are whooped because of this situation with this woman. It is a very demanding time. Has there ever been a time that we ought to pray? It wasn't yesterday. It's today, right now. The demanding time. Satan is enraged. But I notice in the text, it was a desperate time. The Bible tells us in the verse I read to you, verse 25, it says, "And at midnight," well, you'd almost think God wrote the Bible at midnight. The word midnight is mentioned 14 times in the Bible. It is always a time of desperation every time midnight's mentioned. The number 14 in the Bible is always a number that is connected with divine deliverance, God showing up. So they are in a desperate situation. What do y'all need? We need God to show up. As I was meditating upon this, looking at my own prisons, I realized that midnight is but halfway through the night. Would you be alarmed tonight if I told you you're only halfway through your troubles? Would I be alarming to you tonight if I just told you you're only halfway through COVID? You got as much to go as we've already been through. And that the variances that are coming will be far worse than the two that have already come. Are you listening to me tonight? Midnight, halfway through the night. I was thinking about that halfway through our troubles. Heard the story of an old man in Michigan. He was shoveling snow off of his driveway. Two young teenage boys come and sat down in the snow across the street and watched him shovel his driveway. He'd gotten about halfway done. They came over and asked him would he like to hire them to finish his driveway. He said, absolutely. He said, how come you didn't come before now? He said, we get our best business when the half done. The devil gets his best business when you're but halfway through your troubles tonight. Here Paul and Silas are praying, turning their attention towards God. I know. You got the bumper sticker, prayer changes things. I have often found that prayer doesn't always change my circumstances. But I can say this with authority tonight. Prayer has always changed me. I find often that God's not interested in changing your circumstances. He's not interested in getting you out of that prison. He's interested in changing you while you're in it. The master at it tonight. The timing of the song. Could I mention from our text tonight the teaching from this song? Teaching of the song, I would definitely have to mention the source of the song. It's not natural. Do not get fuzzy-wuzzy on me tonight and say, boy, that's what I'm going to do the next time I'm fighting hell by the acre. I'm just going to strike out in a song. I doubt it. Lest God gives you a song. Not natural to sing when you're in trouble. In Job's discourse with Elihu, the text says, where is God who giveth songs in the night? If there is going to be a song in the middle of your troubles tonight, God must give it. Most of our situations are filled with ebbs and flows and valleys. I'm telling you tonight, self-esteem won't sing, willpower won't sing, positive mental attitude will not sing. The only way you'll sing in a prison is if God gives you a song. Amen. Most of us would far rather suck our thumb. Wine in the middle of our troubles. Was thinking about the source of a song. Oh, it's been almost 25 years ago now. My middle son, he married a girl from California. And my wife and my other two boys, my mom and dad, all of them gone now. We all flew out to L.A. And for Christmas, it was a Christmas wedding. I don't suggest to be in L.A. on Christmas Day. Matter of fact, I don't suggest be in L.A. on any day. Just be honest with you. Well, we flew out there out of Atlanta. And my oldest son, he's almost 50. He sat with my mama. Everybody said that she was his favorite. We got off the plane in L.A. I noticed that he was just about to roll in laughter. I said, what in the world are you laughing at? He said, oh, Daddy. He said, flying out of Atlanta across country to L.A. He said, all the way, he said, Grandma was singing Jingle Bells. He said, until we hit one of them air pockets in the plane drop and she strike out into
how great thou art. Hey! Yeah. Don't let the world and circumstances take your jingle bells away from you. You listening to me tonight? Oh, source of the psalm. I was thinking about that in my own situation when the urologist removed my bladder cancer. I should have listened to him. I have listened to him ever since this. He told me, he says, I would suggest you let me leave a catheter in there for 3 or 4 days after I removed that cancer. I said, I don't need that. I don't need it. Don't want it. He said, okay, have it your way. I got done with the cancer surgery. Felt pretty good. Went and ate breakfast. Went back to the house. About 3 o'clock that afternoon, I needed a catheter. I could have got one that morning while I was asleep. I'm now going to get one while I'm awake. Big difference. Big difference. That night at 9 o'clock, I was in the emergency room. It had gotten stopped up. I began that night and the next morning to have what's called bladder spasms. I don't know if any of you men have ever had the joy of having a bladder spasm. It's a very interesting trip. I read an article some time ago that it is the closest thing that a man can have to a woman having travail in birth. They come on suddenly. You feel like in the center of your body, it is going to explode. I started screaming out loud. Ah! Scare myself to death as well as her. I had screamed one morning. And the Holy Ghost whispered to me. He said, Jesus never acted like that when he had his pain. Holy Ghost suggested to me that, said, if you feel like one of them bladder spasms comes on, said, why don't you get your songbook, sing a little bit. One of my favorite songs during the bladder spasms was, oh, come let us adore him. Oh, come let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Went back to the urologist for my PA to remove the catheter. You'd have to know her. She is a godly, holy African-American lady, one of the sweetest, godliest ladies you'd ever want to meet. My wife and I was in the room waiting on her. She stuck a head in the door and saw who it was. And she said, Lord, have mercy. She said, I've been wondering what happened to my preacher man since he got his cancer taken out. Well, about the time she stuck a head in the door, I was having a bladder spasm. Beth and I had struck out in a verse of, oh, come, let us adore him. And in that precious, the only way I can explain it, that precious, wonderful African-American voice, she stepped in the room and said, oh, come, let us adore him. Said, what are y'all doing down there to the urologist? We having revival. So you, did it help you with your pain? Absolutely not. It was as bad as it ever was. But it took my focus for a few moments off of my pain and put my focus on the peacemaker. Now listen to me tonight. I'm sure them singing did not change their pain. Source of the song. I see also the singing of the song. Verse 25, and at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the what? Prisoners
heard them. Now, this is awful deep. I don't know if you can get this or not. The only way I can figure they heard them is because they were singing loud. This crowd that sings where you can't hear them past the first pew, keep it. Every time you sing, you ought to, man, my throat hurts. Listen to me tonight. These guys have cocked their head back. They're expanding every vessel in their neck, and they're singing loud. Say, what in the world would I want to sing loud for? Psalms 149 says, for the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. He likes loud singing too. I love the hound out of that, don't you? Oh, the singing of the song in a prison. You must give the song. I notice also in the text the theology in the song. God's response, verse 26. And 3 days later, there was a great earthquake.
It doesn't even say that in the Living Bible.
Suddenly, while they're singing, he rocks the earth. God's response. God is drawn to praise and worship. The prison is open and loose. Thinking about not only God's response, but God's resources. Did you know that God is not limited to good things in meeting your needs? Did you know that God can take bad things and meet your needs with them? How'd he meet their needs? He met their needs with an earthquake. I don't know about you. If there's an earthquake line, I ain't getting in it. Man, I want some of that earthquake stuff. Listen to me. Doesn't have to send something good to help you. I remember years ago, I was an associate pastor in Columbia, South Carolina. I believe he's probably the meanest man I ever met in all my life. I didn't have to stay with him but 9 months. He was so, we always say we learned how to not do it being there. But he's so mean. There was an old gal in the church by the name of Mrs. Bars. She's dead now. I don't know which way she went, up or down. But she had a tongue. I don't think you could put it on this altar. It's so long. And we were making $100 a week. We full time. And she come over to the house one day, and as soon as she stepped in the house, started running the preacher down. I said, you're going to run the preacher down. You go over to the preacher's house and run the preacher down. I'll run down over here. And she stayed for a little while. And before she left, she gave me a $100 bill. I told Beth later, I said, God sent us $100 and the devil delivered it. God is not limited. He is not limited to good things to meet your needs. Some of you are suffering bad things right now, and he is meeting your needs through that. Amen. Talking about God's response. I notice God's relief. It says in verse 27, and the keeper of the prison awake out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. And Paul cried with a loud voice, say, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. What has happened to these two guys? They have got free in it before they got free from it. Well, how did they do it? Singing Johnny Cash? No. I like a little Johnny Cash every now and then, but he ain't never got me to God. Singing praises unto the Lord. freed them from this prison. I close in this text with the treasure within this psalm. I've always been fascinated by Psalms 40, where David said he lifted me up out of a miry clay, set my feet upon a solid rock, put a new song in my heart. And many shall, here's where I've always been confused, see it and believe. That's not somebody singing, you hear it. No. David said, this new song, they'll see it. It's not about hearing it. These old boys in this prison have, especially the jailer, he hasn't heard it. He's seen it. I notice there is the treasure of conviction. Verse 25 said they heard them singing. Didn't I read somewhere where faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God? The treasure of conviction. It says, and he was awakened out of his sleep. That little word awakened is a word that is often used of a resurrection. One coming from death unto life. The song he has heard has awakened him spiritually. And you know what? They didn't even have to take him down to Romans Road. German Road, nor the French Road. He come in there and asked them in verse 29 and 30. He said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Are you listening to me tonight? They saw in Paul and Silas what God had done in their response to their troubles. Treasure of conviction. Treasure of conversion. Bible says in verse 32, and they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and they were baptized, he and all his straightway. The whole family got saved. How come? Because of their response to their troubles. Prison. Treasure of comfort. It washed them. Same guy that beat them. Washed them. Verse 34, and when he had brought them into the house, he set meat before them, and they rejoiced, believing in God with all of the house. Same guy that whooped them, washed them, feeding them, now he's worshiping with them. How come? Singing in their troubles. I'll mention a gentleman tonight in closing. You tell me whether you think he got free in his prison or he's still bound up in his prison. His name was Luther Bridges. Luther Bridges. Luther Bridges was an old Wesleyan preacher. He lived in an old clapboard country house with his wife and his three daughters. One night Luther was awakened. The entire house was full of smoke. He ran out of the house only to meet with many of his neighbors that had already began a bucket brigade to put out the fire. Once he was out of the house, he realized that every window in the house had fire coming out of it. Both of the gable ends of the house had fire coming out of them, the front door and the back door. His neighbors would not let him go back in the house. He stood in the front yard and watched the house burn to the ground along with his wife and his three daughters. My question for you is, do you think he was free in that prison or still bound? The next morning, after a few moments meditation, he wrote the words and the music to this song. There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee. Peace be still in all of life's ebbs and flows. Feasting on the riches of his grace, resting neath his sheltering wings, always looking on his smiling face. That is why I shout and sing. Though sometimes the path seems rough and steep, see his footprints all the way. Soon he's coming back to welcome me far beyond the starry skies. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown. I shall reign with him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Feels my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Sounds like to me Luther is loose. He's free, even in the midst of his prison. I read a little quote recently by Martin Luther, the great reformer. He said, the mark of a great Christian is one who can sing when the devil's got his hand over your mouth. Listening to me tonight? Am I, are you, singing loud, praising God in your prisons? If not, why don't you bow in this altar tonight and ask God to give you some voice lessons? Preacher, that's the message.